Brothers and sisters, it's good to be back with you another week to talk about the goodness of the Lord. You know, God tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto Him, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I encourage you to spend time studying God's word, asking God to help you through the Holy Spirit to understand what He says. There's so many false teachers today, as the Bible says there would be, so it's necessary that we verify what we hear by studying God's Word. You know, we're living in a very disturbing world. I've been concerned for some time by what I've been seeing that is going on in our society. You know, I don't like to have to say this, but it's true. This is what I've looked at. A lot of the problem lies with Christians and the church. The church used to be a beacon of light to society, but it's lost. It has lost that light. Now preachers are concerned about not offending anyone. They preach smooth messages to people who have itching ears. They preach that God loves you and wants to save you. They beg and plead with you to let Jesus in your heart. But the messages that are missing in churches today are messages of instruction on how to practice your faith, to live a godly life, and be the kind of witness that God wants you to be. Now, preachers don't preach about sin and repentance. They are in the business of building churches, so they don't want to run anyone off. It isn't my goal to offend anyone, but we need to hear about what God expects of His children. Throughout the Old Testament, God sent the prophets to warn the Israelites about the sins they were committing and the pagan idols they were worshiping. They wouldn't listen. They didn't want to hear what God had to tell them. They would rather worship the pagan gods who couldn't do anything to them. They loved their sinful lifestyles. God was long-suffering with the Israelites, as He has been with us. But God will not defer His wrath forever. And this is true throughout history, throughout the Bible. The Israelites were taken into captivity time after time and finally destroyed. Brothers and sisters, let's face it. God's children in this country today are traveling the broad road to destruction, and like the Israelites, they don't want God pointing out their sins or telling them to repent and be obedient to Him. What I'm going to be studying with you for the next several weeks may offend you. If it does, you're probably guilty. It's time to face some truths. Preaching smooth things only prolongs the inevitable. You know, we need to get serious about being obedient to God. Our disobedience as a nation will bring God's wrath. We need to look at where we are today and accept responsibility for allowing our sins to lead us far down the broad road. Oh, so far. Several things have shown me things are going too far. First of all, it's become obvious that our public education system has failed to teach several generations of our children just how this country was founded and the principles it was founded upon. Our founders came to the New World to escape tyranny. Some came because of religious persecution. The King of England was forcing them to worship at the Church of England. He was head of the church, and it was under his control. Our forefathers were punished if they refused to worship at the King's church. Their punishment included being thrown in jail, having the tops of their ears cut off, and being branded on the forehead with a hot iron. Now, our founders did not believe that the head of state, whether it be a king, a president, or a federal legislature, should be in control of a state church and be able to force citizens to worship there. This is what Thomas Jefferson meant by the phrase separation of church and state. He was not talking about Christians not being able to exercise their freedom of speech and speak out against government corruption, advocate for candidates with godlike qualities, or warn fellow Christians about candidates who are not qualified to hold public office. It's the duty of the church to speak out against evil in society. Now, many years ago, the church ceased to be a force for good in our society because our government made laws that took away the church's First Amendment rights. If your church is incorporated, now you listen to me, If it's incorporated, it's under the control of your state government. If it's a 501c3 church, it is under the control of the federal government. So we are exactly where our founders tried to keep us from going. You know, I was reminded of this fact when I heard about an incident that happened in Pennsylvania. A park bench was removed by a Pennsylvania city council because an atheist group complained about a quote by William Penn. That's the state's founder. This engraving that was on the bench, it said, "Men who aren't governed by God will be governed by tyrants." This statement reflects the beliefs of our founders and reinforces the reasons why they set up our constitutional republic the way they did. Now, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said in Proverbs, the 29th chapter and the 2nd verse, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Now David said in Psalms 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Our country was founded on biblical principles, but guaranteed freedom of religion for all. Now it appears that our government is recognizing the rights of other religions by taking away the rights of Christians. Now, that is tyranny. That's tyranny, brothers and sisters. Stephen Colbert, a late-night talk show host, crossed the line of decency when he made an obscene comment about the President of the United States. His comment involved the image of our President and Vladimir Putin of Russia engaged in oral sex. How is it that we have stooped so low as to allow such filth on national television? And you know, Hollywood is what I've been talking about. Hollywood is what has spoiled. What has spoiled our kids, it has brought evil into our homes. You need to think about that. You know, evil has taken over. We see it in the streets of big cities all over this country. Violent gangs of thugs spewing obscenities, and they violently attack senior citizens and the disabled and other helpless individuals. Now, many of our cities across this nation are protecting criminal illegal immigrants and putting the lives of American citizens in danger. Law enforcement officers are told to stand down while violent gangs of protesters attack innocent, law-abiding citizens. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but things like this cause me to be extremely disturbed. It makes me realize more and more the importance of drawing closer to God and getting more serious about studying His Word and proclaiming His truths. It makes me realize that we need a public education system in the hands of parents and the local community that will teach the truth about how our country was founded on biblical principles and the way our government works. You know, our scripture text for this series is 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. Paul writes here, he tells Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." From such, he tells us, from such, he's talking to Christians, brothers and sisters, he says, from such, turn away. From such, turn away. Are our Christian people today turning away like the Bible tells us to? Or are we joining in with these things that he's talking about here, whether it be on TV or whether it be on the internet or these movies that you watch? Are we turning away from such things as this? Let's look at it. The first thing that Paul mentions about the perilous times of the last days is that men will be lovers of their own selves. Now, Paul isn't just talking about men here. The term men is used for all mankind in general. What would be perilous about a small portion of society being lovers of self? No, Paul is talking about society as a whole. Scriptures admonish us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. When the focus of society is self-love, it is a godless society. A godless society. The perfect example. Now you listen to me close. This is very important. This is what I'm talking about today. The perfect example of a godless society today is Hollywood now. It is Hollywood in all of its forms. Everything about Hollywood is love of self. There are no people on the face of this earth more self-serving than those who live in Hollywood. They are all about living in luxury and spending millions of dollars on plastic surgery to make themselves look younger and more beautiful, going around half-naked now. Every time you look at any pictures or anything, anytime you want to look at TV, I suppose, you'll see these half-naked people using profanity and having anything and everything they want when they want it, presenting themselves with awards and patting themselves on the back. Because they are wealthy, they claim the right to speak out on topics they know nothing about, absolutely nothing about, just because they have enough wealth to do what they want to. You know, their award shows approves all that, and it provides them with a microphone, and they use it to display their ignorance on everything from global warming to politics. You know, these Hollywood people, they influence our culture. They influence it in a negative way by teaching our young people, and that's what is so scary. They're teaching our young people to dress seductively and spew profanity. So many of the things that are evil in our society started in Hollywood first. You know, when we brought Hollywood into our homes through television, we exposed our children to a culture of me first, me first. It's no wonder we have a society of self-absorbed, self-serving, spoiled brats who think society owes them a living. And you see it everywhere. And don't tell me you don't see people that thinks the government or somebody owes them a living. And it's only going to get worse, is what I'm telling you. Unless we, as Christians, we stand up for what is right. You know, without a moral and ethical foundation, they will only be able to produce offspring. These kids can only produce offspring more self-serving than themselves. That's what will happen. And as long as we allow the indecent and immoral influence of the godless society of Hollywood into our homes through movies and television programs, our entire country will continue down the road to destruction. Now, are you guilty? Are you guilty? I guess I'm asking you that question here today. How complicit are you in allowing this to happen to our society? What kind of television programs did you allow your children to watch when they were growing up? Did you even pay attention to what they were watching? Or did you use the television as a babysitter so you could spend time doing what you wanted to do? Did you pay attention to who your teenagers' friends were? Did you let them dress according to indecent fads? Or did you teach them to dress modestly and be respectful of their bodies? Did you instruct your children in biblical principles? Did you teach them right from wrong? Did you reinforce those teachings by setting a good example for them? I'm sure we can all look back and see things we did or didn't do to get us to where we are today. You know, just recently, I read something that I thought was very, very an important message from a person that was a very knowledgeable person, that was a people person, that worked with children. But he told parents, and he was talking to a parent group, and he said, "You show me your children's friends, you show me the ones that they hang out with, you show me the things that they're watching on television, and I will tell you their future, brothers and sisters." He says, "You show me what they're doing now, and I'll tell you how they're going to turn out." And I believe that with all my heart. I think they learn it when they're young. But the important question is, what are we going to do to correct the problems we've created? Now the next thing. The Apostle Paul says that perilous times will come in the last days because people will be covetous. Now to covet is to be unreasonably or wrongly desirous of the wealth or possessions of others. When people are covetous to such an extreme, they will do just about anything to have what they want. Now, America is the most materialistic society of all time. The quest for material possessions is the reason for the high number of personal bankruptcies. Covetousness is visible in advertising agencies designing ads to convince us to acquire more and more stuff. Now, covetousness is visible in the increases in extortion, theft, greed, depression, frustration, envy, and complaining. You know, I remember several years ago, high school students were beating other students up over name brand jackets and tennis shoes. Now, it isn't uncommon. Now, right now, it's not uncommon for people to commit murder, to have someone else's husband or wife. Instead of working hard to achieve a certain measure of success, young people today want the government to take from people who have worked hard for their wealth and give it to them because they think that would be fair. Now, wealth redistribution is a practice of socialist societies and was rejected by our founders. It is also rejected in the scriptures. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. Now, you listen to me. We fail so many times to teach our children this. And that's the reason you're seeing so many lazy children that are disobedient to their parents and won't work when they're asked to work and do the things to help that they should be doing. But the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, you get a chance, to, an occasion to go there to the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. This is what he says. This we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know, we are admonished as servants of Christ to be servants of mankind and to take care of the elderly, the disabled, and the widows and the orphans. But the able-bodied are expected to work and provide for themselves. You know, times become perilous when covetous people become so unreasonable that they will take what they want, no matter what they have to do to get it. Now, Paul warns Timothy in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is the 6th chapter about the lust of personal ambition. Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love, now it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But now listen to what he says. But thou, O man of God, he's talking to God's children. He proves it right there. But thou, O man of God, he says, flee these things. Do you flee? Do we flee from these things? But it says, flee from these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, third, Paul says in the last days, men will be boasters. A boaster is one who speaks with exaggeration, especially about oneself. And it makes sense that a society full of people who love themselves would be full of boasters. That's what lovers of self do. They praise themselves. They boast of their accomplishments. They promote themselves. They think they are better than others. They think they deserve recognition and awards. Now Solomon said in Proverbs, the 27th chapter, the 1st and 2nd verse. Now, listen to me now. Listen to what it says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. The Apostle James says that it is evil to rejoice in our own boastings. Boastings are acknowledgments now that we are lovers of self. What disturbs me most about the boasters in our society is that many of them are Christians who boast publicly about all they've done for God. Mega churches brag about how they've grown and how many members they have, how many people they've led to the Lord, how large a salary they pay the pastor, and how many pastors and assistant pastors they have. One of the things that bothers me, I guess, as much as this, if not more, about people that church peoples, I hear so many times people say, just look how many I led to the Lord. Look how many I got saved. What I did last night. night, I got myself saved. Oh, you're big then if you got yourself saved. You know, that's nothing but bragging and boasting. That's what he's talking about here, brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul is talking about boasting. You just look what I did. No, if you are a child of God, you didn't do it. Now I'm going to tell you that today. There was one higher than you did it. It was from up on high. It was through the quickening of the Holy Spirit that came from God that made you a child of God, and not what you did. And you show me in the Bible where you can do it yourself. It's not there, brothers and sisters. Now, the fourth thing that Paul says in the last days now, that society will be full of people who are proud. And it makes sense that those who are lovers of self will be both boasters and proud. Now, you know, to find out how God feels about pride, all we have to do is look back at Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verse. Now, listen to these scriptures. You know, God tells Isaiah here, where we're looking in the scriptures, Satan was perfect in his ways from the day he was created, but sin was found in him. Because of Satan's sin of pride, God cast him out of heaven and vowed to destroy him. You know, God says that Satan's heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And because of that sin of pride, God will bring forth a fire that shall devour Satan. Pride is the sin that turned an archangel into a devil. Isaiah the 14th chapter and the 12th and through the 15th verse tells us how Lucifer's desire was to exalt himself above the stars of God, to ascend above the heights of the clouds, and to be like the Most High. It was the sin of pride that led Eve now to eat of the forbidden fruit. She wanted to be like God. Pride led to the downfall of the Israelites, God's chosen nation. They didn't want anyone, even God, telling them what they could do or they couldn't do. Now Jeremiah, another old prophet who God put his spirit in, old prophet Jeremiah warned so many times, these warnings to God's children. Now he's talking to God's children. He's not talking to the whole world. But he says, "Thus saith the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the imagination of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them." Pride is the sin that caused the Pharisees to reject Jesus as their Messiah and crucify him. Pride is the sin, now listen to what I'm telling you, pride is the sin of the church at Laodicea that led to the incredible blindness. You know, it's the great sin of the church today that takes pride in beautiful buildings, stained glass windows, crystal cathedrals, all these things that are worldly things. You know, ministers, they take pride in their divinity degrees and their titles. Evangelists take pride in their vast ministries that teach the prosperity doctrine that lures God's children into seeking worldly wealth. Now, pride has blinded the majority of our churches to the sovereignty of God. That's what it's done here today, brothers and sisters. Man's free will in salvation is a product of his pride. Those who are made righteous by their own free will are self-righteous, no other way around it. Just like the Pharisees whom Jesus called children of their father the devil. Here is what grace does. Now, this is what grace does. I'm talking about God's grace. God's grace strips man of his pride. God strips man of his pride and self-righteousness before clothing him in Christ's righteousness. Now, God humbles a man before he exalts him. God shuts the mouth before he fills the heart. No man who has been born again by the grace of God has anything to take pride in or boast about. Today, our society is full of people who take pride in their generous decision to allow God to save them. They proudly boast, "Just look what I did. I spoke of that a few minutes ago. Bothers me real bad. Just look what I did. I made a decision to let Jesus in my heart, like you can let Jesus do anything." Now, men take pride in their jobs and their wealth and their possessions and in their homes and their families. They compare what they have to what others have. They measure success in terms of earthly treasures. The Bible teaches the opposite. We are to seek God with a poor and contrite spirit. God gives us mercy through our humility. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We are truly living in perilous times. In perilous times, brothers and sisters, because the pride of our society will surely bring about our destruction. Now, once again, I'm going to tell you, we're living in perilous times because the pride of our society will surely bring about our destruction. Now, the fifth pearl that Paul mentions in today's scripture, in this text today, is that in the last days men shall be blasphemers. Now, a blasphemer are those who speak irreverently of God or of sacred things. Just turn on the television. That's all you have to do. And you'll quickly learn that there are a lot of blasphemers speaking irreverently about Christianity and the God of the Bible. Nothing sacred is off limits, and you don't have to turn on late night television to hear God's name taken in vain or any kind of profanity against Christianity. Now you can hear it on the news or regular programming, watching primetime by all members of the family, even our kids. Now, generally speaking, today's society has no respect for things that are sacred. You'd expect this attitude from society in general, but today's worst offenders are Christians. The sovereign God of the Bible has been replaced with a pitiful God of their own making. Christians have created a God they can control, a God who can't save them until they let Him. Every sort of foolish gimmick has been added to Sunday school and other church programs without any fear of God. They sing Happy Birthday during the Sunday morning worship service like they are a troop of Girl Scouts around a campfire. Pastors must wrestle with pigs, paint their hair purple, or get a pie thrown in their face for attendance records. Now, slogans on church signs are sacrilegious. Worship services are canceled so church members can stay home and watch the Super Bowl without feeling guilty. That's all it is. If you cancel the services, you can stay home and not feel guilty about it. There's no reverence for God anymore. Nothing is sacred. Irreverent jokes are made about anything and everything. The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, "Wherefore we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Now, brothers and sisters, we need to remember this. Although reverence and godly fear is gone out of our churches, God is still a consuming fire. Careless speech and false and frivolous professions of faith are answerable to God. We must not be irreverent toward God, and we must treat all spiritual things with great care. There is no room for jokes about God, heaven, hell, the devil, or any related subject. The next pearl that Paul describes that will occur in the last days is disobedient to parents. Parents have failed to teach their children to respect authority. You know, we're raising a generation of children who've been given everything they have ever wanted and very little they have needed. Very little they've needed. The adult generation has been too busy indulging themselves that they have failed to give their children love and protection and discipline. You know, instead of giving them these things that they need, they've given them plenty of television and video game time, plenty of time to roam the malls, and all the material things they could want. You know, as a result, this young generation has become belligerent, rebellious, and violent. If you don't believe that, you just look at the news every single day. It's right in there what all these kids and these gangs are doing in the bigger cities, and it's spread out into our smaller cities now, what these kids are doing today. You know, the U.S. National Data Handbook indicates that teenage and young adult violence is a growing epidemic. As evidence in school shootings and teenage gangs, and that's what I was talking about, these gangs that are in the inner cities and now spreading out into their smaller towns. National Youth Risk Behavior Surveys indicate that 25% of American school kids now carry a weapon to school. There are more children killing children and children killing their parents in this generation than any other generation in history. You know what it is, brothers and sisters? It is the lack of morality in this country. We quit teaching our kids that it is against God's law to kill, to murder. You know, we're seeing today, too, brothers and sisters, that many parents have completely lost control of their children, and they've turned them over to juvenile detention centers because they can't do anything with them. Why is that? Because, I'm telling you, they didn't teach those kids what they should have been taught in the beginning, in their early lives. You know, the morals of God, if it is incorporated in a society, it cannot be a better society. Because we do the things that help mankind, brothers and sisters. We do the things that are good for people, that are good for society, that's not evil for society. Now, it's amazing to me. What has happened to this relationship that God established? A parental authority and obedient children. Parents feed and clothe their children. Furnish them a place to live. Spending money. Buy them a car. Pay for their insurance. But they're afraid to correct them. They're afraid their children will get mad at them and pout. Or they're afraid their children will have them charged with child abuse. Parental authority is a thing of the past now. You don't believe it, you just start checking the news. And you know, and children are not only disobedient, they are ungrateful. They grow up thinking their parents owe them everything they want and turn into adults who think the government owes them a living. Now, God did not. He did not ordain this pattern of authority in family relationships. And the problem is just as bad in Christian homes as it is non-Christian homes. Parental rule is despised. Godly punishment is outlawed. Bible child training is ridiculed. Children are pampered. And teenagers are given the right to make their own decisions. The average Christian family is dysfunctional, with rebellious and disobedient children as a result. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, if this is not perilous times, I don't know when it would be. Now, in today's society, disobedient children aren't just rebellious teenagers. You ask most kindergarten and first grade teachers, and they can tell you horror stories about 5, 6, and 7-year-old boys and girls describing sexual interaction between a parent and his or her girlfriend or boyfriend. They can swear proficiently, taking God's name in vain and using words that many adults have never heard. You know, they've been allowed to watch X-rated cable channels without supervision. By the time they are in middle school, they have experimented now with drugs, and by high school, they've been in trouble with the law. Some places in this country, it's worse than others. But our children are experiencing too many things that children should not even know about until they are grown. And our society just makes the problem worse. It's no wonder they grow up with a warped sense of who they are and what society expects of them. Another thing, everyone getting a participation trophy has fostered the entitlement mentality that many of our young people have. Instead of working hard, they have the attitude that they are owed a living. You know, they're not just disrespectful to parents, they are disrespectful to everyone in their society. Now, brothers and sisters, we didn't get in this shape overnight, I'm telling you. It's been going on for a while, and we've allowed it. We as Christians have allowed this thing to get a foothold here. We've been so wrapped up in the busy lives we've made for ourselves that we haven't even paid attention to what is happening to our society. Now, gradually, we've been exposed to evil things, and now we just accept them and go about our business. We've only covered now about a third of the pearls that Paul warns us about in today's text. So we'll continue with part 2 of this series next week. I encourage you to study about these things in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and seek the Lord's guidance in understanding what we're up against in this world. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, it's a spiritual battle, brothers and sisters, and we need to seek the Lord's help, draw close to Him, and study His Word in order to fight the wiles of the devil. But most of all, we need to confess our sins, repent of them, and try to figure out what we can do to correct the problems we've created in our society. Now, may the Lord bless you, and we hope to see you here again next week.